I think I'm having a moment. Another moment to relapse, so serotonin. But I see it from your side. I can't count it on my fingers. All the times you let me down. Say your peace and let it linger. Let the words dry out your mouth. I can feel the emotion when I walk into the room and you got me in focus.
Welcome back to the Movie Draft House. I'm your host, Mark, joined by co-host, Jeff.
What up, man? What up?
What's
going on? Creature
Feature
Month. It's October. It's the weather is actually turning. It's quite nice out today as this recording.
Hey, yeah, but before we get into what we watched this week, I've got to plug some music. And here on the podcast this month, we are featuring the music from the alternative pop punk band Fluorescence out of Chicago, Illinois, with their song Roll the Dice. Jeff, what do you think of the music this month?
I really enjoy it. I like that punky sort of nature of the music.
I too enjoy nature of pop punk. Anyways, be sure to hit the show notes so you can get all the links to all their social media accounts, their website. They're doing big things. We appreciate them allowing us to use their music here on our podcast. Jeff.
Yes, sir.
What did we watch this week?
All right, Mark.
Yeah, let's go.
I have
that's gonna be a good one.
Ground rules.
Of things
I want in the month of October.
Before we even dive in, did this hit the theme?
Is it a feature with a creature? Yes. Does that make you feel good?
Yeah, sure. I mean, now, I hit the theme. Let's go.
I think there's like an unspoken thing in the month of October that part of the theme is spookiness. And this isn't spooky.
I mean, it's weird.
It's weird, but it's not a horror movie.
Is Midsommar a horror movie?
I don't give a shit. Oh, that movie sucks. I don't even acknowledge it. I wouldn't call it one. I'd call it a dull, boring trip in the woods. That's my review of Midsommar.
Okay, all right. What the fuck did we watch?
We watched Lamb from 2021. It is a foreign film. I'm not sure where the base studio is,
Iceland.
But it's filmed in Iceland.
Yeah.
Directed by Vladimir Johansson, starring Naomi Rapace. Hilmir Gottesson, Bjorn Hjön Hjartarson, Ingvar Sigurdsson, and that's about it. There's some other bit players, but that's your main cast of characters. Did you watch this before?
No.
Okay, good. Because if you had watched this before and then still picked it.
I'd heard of it, and I heard it, you know, this, so it's an A24 film, right?
Oh, there's the problem, right off top. Now, I don't know what I said. There are a couple A24 films I like, specifically The Lobster. I love The Lobster, but The Lamb is not another animal-based film that is like unto The Lobster, although they are both weird.
Sure. And listen, most A24 films are Oscar or award seeking films, right?
I would call them indie art house a lot of times.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
A lot of them are crap, pretentious bullshit. But the
I mean, one of our favorite films from was it this year or last year?
What movie?
Everything Everywhere All at Once was an A24 film.
I didn't say that was one of my favorite films. I might have. But then I think I recanted a couple episodes later. I don't like the studio. Or publisher.
They have a certain, type of film that they push out. And most of it is, like you said, indie art house types. Great cinematography, very grounded, or no, I shouldn't say grounded, very tight-knit stories, right? Everywhere All at Once is kind of the off.
That was like a shotgun blast into the wall.
Right. But most A24 films deal with a very intimate story, whatever it's about. And I think you get that here. You get a small, intimate story. I mean, it's only got like three actors in the entire thing. You know, of these two people dealing with grief. And how do they deal with grief? Well, they raise a little lamb baby. And so...
lamb baby. All right. I've been kind of negative. So let me take a step back.
All right.
Some of this worked.
Had you never
me.
Heard of this movie before?
I want to say I'd maybe seen an image of lamb baby.
Ah.
Like
image of lamb
people
baby.
Raising a lamb baby.
Yeah. And when we talk about lamb baby, we're meaning a baby that has the body of a baby.
It's like 70% but, baby and then 30% lamb. I think
and
that's
it's,
a good calculation.
Yeah, no, I think you probably nailed the percentages, right? You know, right on.
Fuzzy up top, baby on the bottom.
So I mean, we get a lot of the movie starts out. And there's not a lot verbally to be said. It's a very scenic film. I mean, it takes place in the countryside of Iceland, which is
yeah,
a beautiful
it is,
country.
It is very beautiful. It is also very overcast pretty much all the time, kind of like Seattle. Yeah. So I do,
but there's. There's sprawling, like the cinematography here is really good. Sprawling, just sequences of just countryside and land, like sheep. Because the two people here, Naomi Rapace and her husband, I'm not going to try to pronounce his name, but
I had to.
They are sheep farmers, I think, and
it would seem that way.
It would seem that way, but you know, there's. It just there's a lot and like some there's some top down shots of sheep being herded into different areas and it's just I feel like it's the camera work was really good. That's one of the stronger aspects of this film, I think. It does get weird.
Your movie is about a family raising a lamb baby, so that's going to happen. But I will say that a lot of it worked for me. I started caring about Lamb Baby. I started caring about the characters. When the brother comes into the picture, you know, I'm like, he better not. And then he starts to befriend. What's it? Nada? Something like that. He befriends Lamb Baby. Ada. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he just starts to be the cool uncle. And... until he keeps... Now, I don't know if you felt this way, but I felt like... Because he often makes passes at his brother's wife.
Right.
And I...
Well, he references it, like, directly.
Yeah, and I feel like maybe they had done something before.
I don't know if I got that.
Like, what he's doing is just him being slimy.
Yeah.
Like, I think that maybe they had done something previously.
Yeah, and you know, there is like the way that certain scenes are shot, where you know, he's walking past the room and she's got the door open, she's changing, and then he references that later. He's like, "Oh, you were just doing that, you know, as a show or whatever," and then she kind of's like, you know, silent just walks away. I can see where your perspective there is on that. I didn't really get that. Maybe they had a previous, you know,
I could be wrong. It's thing. Not stated, but
no.
When they're in the kitchen and he kind of just grabs her hand, I think, and then she kind of walks away. It just felt like she took it in such stride that it almost felt like this is old hat. But then again, maybe he's been pushing himself on her for a while.
Right. And there's certainly that I don't know if I'd call it villainous, but just something's off. You know, you immediately get that with him when he shows up and he starts quiet. You know, he takes a very sensical approach to it. He's like, what the fuck are y'all doing?
So let's...
y'all are raising a lamb, baby.
Let's set each other in each other's shoes.
Okay.
You are a dog owner. I am a cat owner.
Yeah.
And if you came to my house and a half cat baby was walking around, what's the first thing you're going to think?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Where are you going to assume cat baby came from? What's the first thought?
I'm going to assume that you have some... I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. That's an interesting question.
If I go to Mark's house and dog baby is walking around, I'm going to be like, Mark, did you lie with your dogs and had a dog baby?
Yeah, I don't... Yeah,
because
me being a scientist, I know
movie.
That's not... I know that's not possible.
Well, okay, sure. But then you're confronted with the reality of
that there is a dog baby.
Right.
Yeah, okay, I get it. I see where that
I'm just
thought
saying, that's
is.
Where I thought, right? I thought that was going to be the reveal at the end of the film.
Very well could have been.
And we find out that certainly is not the case. In my opinion, the movie lets you know that that's not the case. There is another father in the picture.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're all good. No bestiality in this film.
It's just when brother, you know, he's popping out and he's questioning everything and he's taking, and you get this feeling that he's going to do, and in the movie takes you right up to the point of you're thinking he's going to kill this thing is because it's a monstrosity and it shouldn't exist.
It shouldn't
or whatever.
Exist, right. But then he sees that it's a big, so that's the part that I would say worked for me. I bought the child. The innocence of the character, right? And there were things that I really liked, like when she saw another lamb and then was looking in a, you know, laying on her dad's chest and looking at the picture of lambs, and then just kind of the existential crisis that that character has, all without speaking really any words, I think worked for me. I was like, okay, that's interesting. Because here she is being raised as a human and she's not, you know, and then having to deal with that is kind of interesting to me. They don't really explore it. It doesn't ever go anywhere.
No.
The parents, not until the end of the film, are really ever confronted with their choices.
I think we're shown... A little bit. We're given a little breadcrumbs along the way that, you know, these two people are previous parents. And
yeah, because they have a crib already in storage. And so they have baby things. And then you find out that their firstborn had passed away. And her name was
also named Ada.
Ada. I don't know. But yes, same name. And so they name sheep baby the same thing.
Right. And so that, you know, that was my first real thought of they have not gotten over the loss of their previous child. And, you know, they're funneling their grief into this lamb baby. And, you know, and they weren't going to let the brother, you know, kind of entertain any, they weren't going to entertain anything he had to say. Certain things that happen along the way, like Naomi Rapace's character, she keeps having like nightmares or dreams, and they have to do a sheep, and then she wakes up one time and there's a sheep right out of her window, and then she takes the gun and so goes and kills the sheep.
That sheep is Ada's mom.
You think?
No, it is. It definitely is. Okay. Because they even, there's the point where the brother, Peter, says, have you let Ada know that you killed her mom? Because he, the first day he arrived, he had seen that happening. And that's
why
what happens at the end happens at the end, right? Because
that's what happens when you look away from the screen on a subtitle film.
Yeah, you can't do that, which we should say it is subtitled. But there's not a ton of dialogue. It is really quiet, and it's a slow-paced movie. But yeah, because that lamb keeps following them, right, and wandering around, and she can tell that she's like, "Hey, that's my baby. Give me my baby." And then she gets
That makes sense then,
right? She gets tired of, and that's when she shoots it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I get the rationale for that. But she keeps having these types of dreams, and it's almost like she knows like something bad is going to happen eventually, and she's just kind of waiting on it. So, you know, she kills the baby sheep's mom, and then, you know, she just keeps having... I would say, because it's not spoken in the film, but I would say it's like this dread of something bad's going to happen. I'm just waiting on it.
Well,
and
it's so much of that for me is that it's an A24 film, right? At some point, this is going to get fucking weird, right? That's what
weirder than
it
already
was. Well, I mean, because after a point, you get used to Sheep Baby and you kind of almost forget that there's something different about her, which I think is a plus. I think that's a positive thing to say about the filmmaking is that it, the baby, you start to identify with the character and the family, and you're happy to see that they are happy, right? Their marriage is maybe not on the rocks, but they're definitely not on the same page. And then this baby sort of brings back some liveliness, some happiness. And even when the brother comes and takes Ada out, then they go and make love, and they're a happy couple.
Yeah, and we're never told how their first child died. You know, we're left to know that their child died, and they are still grieving. This is a grief process. And I think the film does a really good job of showing and not telling. We talk about that a lot here. Showing, not telling, and having stuff that is earned in a film. And I feel like the emotion out of this film is very much earned because of just the genuine presentation of their relationship with this lamb baby, right? I mean, there's several shots of just the lamb baby by itself, and the dad is out of frame, but you see his hand, and he's holding the kid's hand, and it's got kid hands, by the way.
Right. There are moments where the special effects have some seams, where it is a child actor walking around with a CG, or maybe not CG, but like a replacement head,
right,
and a very real lamb, and so sometimes the seams look kind of rough, but. At the same time, the movements of the child are very childlike, and so it feels like a kid. The dad in me is like, "Aw, you know, like this is a cute kid, and that you want to protect them."
At one scene, the kid like reaches up like any child has ever done, and is like, "Hey, pick me up." And I feel like this movie, while not being very heavy dialogue, does a lot of that showing, not telling, that it really pulls you in as far as emotions go and makes you care about this weird thing that's on screen. And I feel like that's mark of good storytelling. And for a movie that's only an hour and 45, you said it's slow, and it is. It is not a fast-paced film, but... there are just sequences along the way that you just get caught up, or at least I did. I got caught up in going, damn, I hope nothing happens to this lamb baby.
Yeah. And then the movie ends, right? It just, I knew something was going to happen, and I think that the brother was a red herring, right? This guy's going to be the one who introduces chaos into this story, and he doesn't, right? I mean, he introduces a bit of, you know, him trying to sleep with his brother's wife and that sort of thing, but it never gets weird with him, right?
Right.
It's, you know, he comes along and he's very protective over Ada and he loves her as a niece and all that's good. So that confrontation is done. And then he's still trying to flirt with the wife and she is awesome, right? I love the character that she is. You know, she locks him in a room and then the next day, get up, we're leaving. And then gets him, takes him to the bus. He knows he's fucked up. And they kind of have a truce and part ways. And I think it's just really human and nice. She also doesn't tell her husband that, hey, your brother's been hitting on me. She just, you can tell when she gets back, if everything was going to go according to her plans, she'd probably be like, yeah, he had to go. He had something, you know, and just try to maintain their being. Some love for his brother. But when she gets home, things are very different.
Yeah, and you know, so I too thought that sequence was really well done. And it's, like you said, it's a very very human element to this film in a film about a not half human thing. But she gets home and she discovers that her husband's been shot.
So their dog had gone missing, right? And you're like, where's the dog? And we get to see as the audience the dog dead.
Right.
But the characters don't know. So something has killed this dog and we don't know what. Now, in the movie, I had assumed it was the brother. I was like, oh, he's finally snapped, right? Something's happened. But nope. I did not see coming what was coming. And
It's a pretty jarring reveal. It's because this it's a ram.
Mostly
a ram man.
Yeah, and he's got we brought out the dong counter. We gave it a tick on the dong counter, so that's a plus. And it comes out, horns up, and somehow I got a hold of a rifle. I don't remember if Dad had brought it into the woods or what, but
I don't remember Dad bringing it in the woods.
Yeah, maybe it had stolen it at some point, broken into the house, whatever.
Yeah.
And shoots Dad in the neck and then I think one more time in the gut. And takes its baby back. Baby back, baby back. Ooh.
Chili.
Baby back ribs. And I was like, what? What?
But we also see before, I guess, he takes his baby back. We see, you know, lamb baby kind of sleeping or resting.
That's so heartbreaking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it just shows you that these people were just, you know, they were replacing a hole in themselves with this child, and that child had developed a relationship, a bond with these people, and it was very, very childlike, companion like, you know, I didn't necessarily think of a child when I was watching that scene. I thought of, like, you know, your dog you've had for 10 years and, you know, just resting its head on your chest as you lay dying.
Wow. What a great film you picked for us in the month of Spooky. Great.
You know, so Ram Man takes Lamb Baby off, and that's the last we see of him. And then,
so I'm thinking, okay, now she's on revenge, right? That she's going to go find Ram Man in the woods or up in the mountains and get her baby back. But we don't get that. She just screams at the mountain and then the credits roll. And I'm like,
what?
Huh?
Yeah, right. But I also think that she knew in that moment that the time had, you know, like she had made that bed. And I think she knew. I don't know if she knew that Ram Man was out there, but she knew something was out there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, it's a parallel. So she is now in the position that Ram Man was in. So Ram Man had his lover killed and child taken. And now at the end of the film, her lover's been killed and child's been taken. And so it's a flipping of the situation there.
You know, and I think it is also the, because she lets out this, you know, this guttural, you know, yell, you know, upon discovery of her dead husband, and she sits there, and then she kind of composes herself, and she lets out this like exhale of breath, and almost a sigh of relief. I don't know, and then the movie ends.
She was mad.
Well, throughout the movie, she's getting these premonitions of some crazy shit's gonna happen, and it might be the death of her. It might be, you know. I just think, to me, it's because endings like that are very left up to the interpretation, left up to the imagination. You know, how did you feel at the end of this, and how did this make you feel as the audience? And I think those are good movies when it's done well. Or good endings when it's done well. But to me, it felt like she just went through the gamut of emotions in like the minute that she was sitting there in movie time, and then knew she had to turn the page. I think that was the grief aspect. She knew that, yeah, her grief for her original child led to the death of her husband, and she needs to move past it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I did not think I would enjoy this, and I think I largely did. I think I land on the positive side. The ending kind of threw me. Hit me in the face, and I'm like, wait a minute, what? And I guess it makes sense, but I also was like, all right. But I didn't hate this. I kind of liked it.
Do you recommend it?
That might be a bridge too far. No, I don't.
That's too bad.
Yeah, Yeah, but you know, most people might like it more than me because it's not my type of movie, and the fact that I still kind of got something out of it says something.
No, I think whatever the director here was intending to get, whatever reaction he was intending to get out of the audience, I think he probably got that out of me, and how it made me feel about the characters here. It's because, right? Why do you make a movie if you don't want the audience to care about anything that's going on? But I do. The reveal of Ram Man was very like, oh shit, what the fuck is that thing? It's because he's very ripped, but he's also very menacing looking. He's evil looking. Just like if you think of like a ram face with these, you know, twisty horns, and then you think of this ripped dude and put like Ram and dude together. It was very like, just like, oh shit, what the fuck is that? Oh, is he going to take this baby? Okay, cool. I don't know. I liked it. I don't know if I would recommend it just simply because it is not a typical film.
That's too bad.
That is too bad. I know, but like, I think it's a good movie. It's a good movie. It's just not something that I think would make my recommendation list.
Who do you know anyone you would recommend it? Like, hey, dude, you'd like this movie? Because I can't think of anyone.
I don't know. I mean, if you enjoy, what's the word I'm looking for? Subversive films, maybe subversive messages in films, or films that fit a particular subgenre, like grief, or how people deal with grief, but then make it weird. But I don't know. I would recommend this to like your movie aficionados, maybe, right?
They've probably already seen it. Because right. It's A24 and they got a thing right. up the butt about A24.
It's on the radar already. And I think that's something about this studio is that, you know, the second that they put out things, you know, your film critics, film geeks, it's already on the radar, whatever the movie is. And I think that's why Everything Everywhere All at Once did so well, is that it branched out beyond those groups, right? It was a very blockbuster-esque type of film, but, you know, low-key, but also telling this very sprawling story. I don't know. Anyways, Jeff, what are we watching next week?
Listen, I'm going to save the month. Not that the month needs saving. It hasn't been that bad, honestly. but I've got a mission for myself as well. But the official movie we're going to watch is Critters 2. And you might say, oh, when did you guys watch Critters 1? Well, we didn't, okay? Right. I've seen it, clearly, because I'm someone who has good taste in film and cinema. So we're going to watch Critters 2, which is my favorite Critters movie.
How many Critters movies are there?
There are four in the original series. Then there's another one that's like a remake. Not a remake, but a new like reboot. But I haven't seen that one because, I don't know, it's not old. Critters has made an appearance in one of our favorite past films, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's the film that Raphael leaves.
Okay.
It's Critters 1. But here in Critters 2, I'm not going to say. But my mission for the week is to get you to watch Critters 1. And if you choose not to, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, do I need to?
No.
That's the question. Okay.
You really don't. I'll just say the main character is the redhead, and he's like this big survivor from the first film. And that's you'd probably benefit from watching it, though. I'm kind of tempted, you know, we're going to watch this one together in in the draft house. And I'm going to think maybe we have a little double feature.
We could have a double feature. This is the first time we're back in person since you died and came back to us. That'd be exciting.
Yeah, there's a fifth Critters movie that came out in 2019 called Critters Attack, which I have not seen.
And you're probably not alone in that.
I don't have a ton of interest in, although it does star Dee Wallace, who was in E.T. Anyway, Critters and Critters 2, I'm going to aim for Critters and Critters 2, but we'll definitely watch Critters 2. It's the best.
Well, there's Critters Attack? There's Critters Bounty Hunter.
I don't know what the hell that is.
Critters.
Oh, a new binge.
A new binge, yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of Critters movies I haven't seen. I've only seen the original four.
Okay. This is going
to
be
They
great.
Literally go to space in four. it's not good.
Critters
three
in space.
Three and four are not good. One and two are good.
Anyways.
I can't wait to watch this at your house. You're going to hate it. I mean, love it.
Once again, I want to give a shout out to the music this month, the band Fluorescence out of Chicago, Illinois, with their song, Roll the Dice, damn it.
be sure to hit the show notes, get all the links to their social media, give them a like, a follow, and a subscribe. They're doing big things, and we appreciate them. And if you want to follow the podcast on all your favorite social media platforms, we're on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, here where you're watching us on YouTube. So be sure to hit the subscribe button when it pops up so you don't miss any future content here on the podcast. The podcast releases weekly every Thursday on your favorite podcast platform. And if you want to follow Jeff on Twitter and tell him, bro, you probably devoted way too much of your life to the Critters films, you can find him at Podcast by Jeff.
Yeah, and if you want to get in touch with Mark and say, hey, where's the spooky? What the fuck? You can do that on Twitter at I Heard You Liked.
Where's the spooky?
You really did mess up. And I know it's unspoken. It's an unspoken theme thing. But when we agreed on Creature Feature, I really thought you would have gotten on board with. But instead, we watched Oscar Bait and this, which, again, not bad films, but they're not October-y films. No one
You're
is
better
like,
for have seen both of these films.
Nobody gets up Halloween day and is like, hey, man, let's put on Shape of Water. And no one does that.
Listen, I get up on Halloween and I put Hubie Halloween on.
Yeah,
all right?
And you know what? That'd been fine because it's a Halloween film.
It's my favorite Halloween film.
I know. You mention it every year. Like, 1 year you'll pick it for Halloween.
Well, 1 year we'll do just actual Halloween films.
Like, I don't know what that means. Like
just movies about Halloween.
So we'll watch Halloween 1, Hubie Halloween, Great Pumpkin,
although that's and Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, there. That month's already set. We're not doing that, though. We got to get through. Crazy. So we've done vampires, psychological thrillers, creature features. So maybe we do, like, werewolves or some shit. I don't know.
Some shit. Yeah. All right, so do you have any words of wisdom?
I don't. I'll see you next week.
You and I fall on opposite sides. Yeah, but I'll still